Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you guys. I'm sorry I had to change the time on you. I had a meeting I had to attend, so I said instead of not doing the show altogether, that I would do it at a later time. So, first of all, let me say good evening, everyone. This is Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida, on the Say Your Peace Radio Network. And I'm happy you guys are out there. Thank you for listening, and I'm hoping you have a great show. The book is almost finished. I'm hoping that you guys have learned a lot from this book. When I finish with it, I think what I want to do is I want to do one more show after the book is completed so we can go over the things that we did learn in the book, the points that were made in the book. Let me tell you what the name of the book, just for those who haven't been listening. We're already on the second part of the book. It's called Sexual Abuse of Power in the Black Church by Dr. Donald H. Matthews, Ph.D. And basically what I've been doing is actually reading the book out loud. It's not a long book, and basically pointing out different things. From my understanding, this is just my understanding, and I'm really encouraging you guys to get a copy of this. I know for sure it's on Amazon. It's Sexual Abuse of Power in the Black Church, and I think all churches should have it. I think a lot of the study groups that you have at your churches should be very much so aware of this book, simply because it is a story or it is a subject that is not talked about in the churches, okay? So, we are on the point where we're talking about African-American sexual ethics between the spirituals and the blues. It says, every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. This is traditional African-American spiritual. And then it says, my Lord, what did I do to be so black and blue? Traditional African-American blues. I've never heard the song, but these are two songs that he was mentioning. Okay, it says, maintaining improper boundaries, black folk ethics or of pastoral abuse. Now we're getting into the abuse. We talked about what we've experienced as sexual abuse of power in the church. Now we're going to talk about, we're directly thinking of the folk ethic of pastoral abuse. How do we see it? Okay. It says, I mentioned black male ministers are introduced to an ethical framework that allow black clergy to engage in sexual relationships with their members. In one of these informal teaching sessions, I was at a meeting with a well-known and respected clergy person with a group of aspiring young black male ministers and theologians. Dr. Charisma, as I will call him, was known as one of the most successful and innovative pastors in the black community. After an initial discussion on how he became a successful pastor, he began to explain why so many of his church members were female and why he was known to have been sexually involved with several of these women. He explained that ideals of sexuality were different in the black community as compared to the traditional Christian views espoused by the predominantly white community. I had already heard from several women who had been involved with Dr. Charisma, and so I carefully listened to his explanation. These women genuinely admired their pastor and did not want to be responsible for bringing down a black man that had done so much for them and other members of the community. Dr. Charisma explained that the puritanical sexual view of the white churches and pastors were due to their uncritical and, in many cases, their limited understanding of biblical scripture. Wow. I got to hear the rest of this. He felt as though traditional Christian sexual attitudes were unnecessarily restrictive. Okay. So you're telling me it's all right for you to have sex with your church members? Oh, and they're too uptight, in other words, restrictive. What? I didn't read that in the Bible. I don't know where. If it's in there, I want to know the verse, page, and book it then. Okay. This was not to be the only justification I would hear from black clergy as to why it was appropriate to engage in extramarital relationships. Another well-known pastor had developed a philosophy in which he asserted that it was the Christian duty of female members to provide sexual services to their spiritual leaders. Oh my God. He called this philosophy the missionary FK. I'm not going to say the rest of it, but I guess that's fuck. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. Unfortunately, many African-American pastors affirmed his philosophy, although it may have had a different nomenclature or not named as well. I have found that many church women have assented to this perspective and will defend their pastor's actions as long as some modicum of discretion is involved. It seems that many black church persons are so accustomed to accepting the misconduct of their pastors that it is now accepted as a normal behavior, which we already defined that it's not. It's nothing normal about having sex with your church members. I don't understand that. Okay, I think it's a boys' club, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm working with this lady who's writing a book. Her name is Miss KD, and she's writing a book similar to what we're talking about, and it's a boys' club. That's what I'm thinking. It's a boys' club. It says, in fact, because their moral compass has never been set to understand the dynamics and the damaging effect of pastoral sexual misconduct, they have developed a kind of denial regarding their minister's sexual misconduct. I doubt whether most or even many black church persons have any idea of what it means for a pastor to engage in acts of abuse of power. The typical black pastor commands and expect such love and devotion that has almost become expected that he will abuse his power and be forgiven for it. And that's so true. Like many black pastors, Dr. Charisma also believed that monogamy, like homosexuality, was a white thing, and that black community need not to be influenced by these notions. So he had his own little philosophy going on and his own justification for having sex with his church members. Wow. In other words, being black and heterosexual became an excuse for sexual misconduct. Exactly. In the same way that homosexuality, was claimed to be a white thing, quote unquote, sexual fidelity was also seen as a feature of the white ethic and spirituality. In their understanding of human sexuality, male leaders deserved sexual privileges and also were not expected to control their sexual desires. So they were supposed to act like animals. That's basically what he's saying. And heat. Anything I can hump that smells like a woman. Or sometimes smell like a man. Depends on what their preference is. Therefore, they should be excused when they attempt to satisfy their sexual desires with various females in the congregation, since that is their divinely appointed privilege, just as it is the woman's role to sexually service their pastor. This is, you know what? This is so true that we're not even paying attention. This is true. How we feel. This is crazy. This unwillingness to criticize the pastor is indicative of the blind trust and devotion that a community under crisis has given its spiritual leaders. Ultimately, this devotion has also resulted in a lack of ability for churches to cooperate with each other as each church and its leaders develop a social and sexual fetum of its own. So they got their own thing going on. So you stay over there in your church because we don't want you to mix up and be messing with somebody in this church, so you stay on your side. And that's something. and never thought about that part of it. Each church requires a single-minded devotion to their particular pastor and leader and is therefore willing to overlook the misconduct of its leaders and has limited capacity to trust other churches and their leaders. Wow. Eventually, Dr. Charisma was brought up on charges by some of these women to denominational officials, but since this was a church of immense influence, nothing was ever done to deal with the situation. This was unfortunate for the women who had been the victims of his misconduct and for the pastor as well, for it diminished their capacity to develop healthier ways of relating, and it gave the pastor an air of invincibility regarding his activities, which only led to more misconduct and complaints in the future. So it never stopped. He continued to do, oh, I didn't get in trouble for this. So guess what? I'm going to keep doing it. And that's sad. That's sad. It says, self-deception, discretion, silence. These all go together. It says, in addition to the narratives given in the previous chapters, I have almost never met an African-American person who was not aware of sexual misconduct in their churches, even if they did not name it as such. Another senior black church official told me of a minister under his care who was involved in multiple sexual relationships in the congregation. His behavior was brought to the pastor's attention by several of the older women in the church. They complained about his behavior, but not for the purpose of him not dating within the church. Instead, they were displeased because he had not made a clear choice in the terms of whom he wanted to marry. What is wrong with us? This is total misconcept of, come on, you guys. They saw his behavior as disrespectful of the marital aspirations of the several women with whom he was actively dating. This minister had transgressed this boundary with his many sexual partners, and so the older church woman informed the senior minister that the assistant pastor would have to make a choice and therefore not play with the affection of his female partners. Okay, so they didn't say that they was going to discuss it with him in order to tell him to stop doing it altogether. They reported him because he was messing with their minds. And it was time for him to choose who he needed to be with. Isn't that amazing? You guys got to, I'm so sorry. I still am trying to get rid of this stuffy nose, and I am having a problem with it. Okay. It said it was a case of harming the women who had hopes of finding a husband, and it was also a case of violating the boundaries of sexual ethics and discretion, which was meant to avoid disharmony and conflict within the congregation. In other words, let me put this to you. Let me give you a scenario. Say you go to this church, and the pastor is, how do you want to say that? It's fooling around with somebody in the church. Not only is he fooling around with one person, he's fooling around with two or three of them. And they're all walking around with you can tell that there's some tension around three of these females that's in church. And you're like, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? Then you walk outside after the church and everybody is standing around talking, and just so happen you notice two of these members are back and forth. You never understand why, but then later you hear it's not rumor, it's what someone really heard and said, was that, so what, he was at your house, he was at mine the night before. Well, he needs to stop lying to me. Well, who said he's lying to you? He wasn't at your house. Then you find out that Barbara's involved. Just putting a name out there. And Barbara walks up and says, what are you guys talking about? I don't know why y'all even discussing this here. This is not the place. Y'all need to take that somewhere else. Not to come along and say, you know, stop talking about it. You guys, maybe this is another way we do it. Take it somewhere else. Get off this sacred ground. talking like this, not walking up to the pastor and confronting him or asking him to have a meeting with them in an office with another senior member of the church or even one of the deacons, but actually confronting each other in front of the church, okay? And then the third person come along and say, take this off the church grounds. Nobody is saying, hold up, wait a minute, something's wrong with this. Ah, is it me?
Could be me. Okay.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Okay. The women were not setting the boundary forbidding sexual contact between the minister and the congregation. However, the minister had violated the sexual ethic of discretion, which has to do with the sexual practice of a person kept private and hidden from the larger social group. In this view, the value is to mind one's business. Isn't that something? Oh, you guys, we have a caller. Just one moment. 6-7
Greetings,
how are you?
Ladies, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yes. Okay, so sexual abuse of power in the black church. I want to talk about, I saw a lot of videos about the black church, and I'm beginning to think that they're right. I don't like going to church because I really think it's a waste of time, you know.
Okay. All right. So tell me.
You know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't have to go to church to be a true Christian. And these same Christians who keep saying that, oh, I go to church all day, but they're the worst, they're the biggest hypocrites you ever seen in your life. So, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? The reason why people go to church, they go to church because in the Bible it states for us to be around like-minded people. And like-minded people, Christian, quote-unquote, are that's the time, and then that's the time of fellowshipping and worshiping God together as one. That's what church is about, and the church is actually the people. It's not the building or the structure. It's actually the people. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I was taught, that the church is not a building. It's the people. People make
I know that. I know that. That might be true, madam, but it's just that the church doesn't really help out the people. You know, it doesn't really give enough money to the communities. You know, they show up on every doorstep of every black community, but they don't do. Church is a black business, but I just don't think it does enough, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of you, I agree with you on that, that churches are more, they used to be about your spiritual, your soul, but it's more now a business than it is a church.
Yes.
I mean, doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to help the community out, and lots of times it don't. Where I live at, in this area where I live at, we have churches that are on top of churches that are on top of churches that are on top of churches, and the communities look the same that they looked 20 years ago. And there's a church on every corner, and there's a pastor with 2 or 3 members in each church. You hear what I just said?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a church on every corner, and it's about 2 or 3 members in each church. So why won't they come together as one congregation? You know why?
Why?
Because of power. Do you know it's awesome feeling to be a pastor of a church?
You said it's what?
It's an awesome feeling to be. It's power. It's power.
Yes,
to
you
be
know, look at Creflo Dollar. Look at Bishop Ray Long. Look at that fat guy from Texas. I keep forgetting his name. He's bad too.
T.D. Jakes.
Yeah, T.D. Jakes. Yeah.
So you understand what I'm saying when I say how, and I know it's happened. I've witnessed the sexual abuse in church, and the idea that the African American churches just kind of blow it to the side. You ever notice that? You don't ever talk about it. That's one of the reasons why Dr. Donald wrote this book, is because it's not talked about in the church at all. That these pastors actually feel privileged to have all these women following behind them, walking around mad at each other, getting in fights on the parking lot over this man who's married and got a whole family. Do you think how crazy that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I think it's crazy, but I'm just saying even in white and Catholic churches, but the reason why it happens in black churches is because they get it from the white and the Catholics, honestly.
I think we've been doing it just as long as they have. It's just more the idea that in the Catholic church, they go directly after the men in the church, not the women in the church. See, the thing with our pastors, they go after both because they have an opportunity to. Because you probably didn't hear the story earlier in the book, he was talking about this pastor, the wife of a pastor, was complaining to her husband, come to find out, well, he was a member, and come to find out her husband was having a relationship with the pastor. So she was going telling all their business.
So he was on the down low.
Yeah. So you have that in the church, too. So you see what I'm saying when I say this both ways?
Yes.
It's a little bit different in the Catholic Church opposed to in our church. And we are more accepting of it than they are. You see what I'm saying? We allow it to happen. I know pastors that have kids that that's not their wives. I mean, that's regular. That's a norm in our churches because
Damn.
We don't say anything. Yeah. I know 16, 17-year-old girls are having babies for these pastors, and nobody doesn't see anything wrong with it. Nobody puts them up for charges, press charges against them for rape. Nobody, I mean, these people are still in the pulpits.
I never noticed that, though, what you just said. I never noticed that.
Yes, sweetie. Yes, it is prevalent in our church. It is prevalent because it's never talked about. It's hush-hush. I think Eddie Long was the biggest thing that happened lately.
Yes.
Okay. He wasn't messing with the females in the church. What he was messing with? He was messing
the males.
With the male court. And guess what happened to him? Did you see the video on him?
I know. His congregation didn't really do anything. I know he paid the boys off. And his wife left him, I believe.
I think she left him, but look, guess what? There's a video on YouTube, and I want you to look at it to show you how ignorant we are. And I'm saying it like it is. We are
ignorant. Oh, you're talking about that video where he had the scroll and crap and some white guy was there?
Yes. Do you think that? Isn't that sickening?
That's some bull crap, yo.
But that's what I'm trying to say. This is an acceptance, and that church was packed with us. Did you see that church was packed with us? They're worshiping this man who had sex with three boys. So I just wonder, my opinion, I wonder what God he serves. When people holler God, you got to remember there's a big God and there's a small God. The small God is the ones that's the idols, opposed to the God that's supposed to be in the sky, or in heaven, excuse me. So we got to be careful who we serving, because everybody holler, praise the Lord, I serve a mighty God. Okay, your mighty God could be the devil. I mean, you think about the idea that they put him up on a dog on. They was carrying him around.
I know, I saw it.
That was the most sickening thing I have ever seen.
And I've actually been to his church before. So,
huh?
I actually been to his church before, actually.
Oh, really? My sister used to belong to their church before she moved from Georgia. And there's no way. I don't do televangelists. I just don't. I don't listen to them. I used to listen to T.D. Jakes a long time ago, but I stopped listening to T.D. Jakes. Juanita Bynum is another one I used to listen to. I stopped listening to her. I stopped listening to all of that. No, because once you go on TV, and I know you're supposed to spread the news, but you listen to a lot of that stuff they're saying. It's just amazing, this prosperity thing. God didn't say he wanted everybody to be rich. you know, if you, it says in the Bible, you have to have poor people. You got to have poor people. And it's not fair that you have this huge church sitting in the middle of your neighborhood and everybody around your neighborhood live in raggedy houses. I don't get that.
Well, you have a car and money.
Yeah, you got car and money, and I got to walk to church from my raggedy house because I don't have a car. But I'm giving you money every week. Every time I come in there, I'm giving money. So I have a lot, I'm like you to a certain extent, I have a lot of issues with the black church. And I'm saying black church not because of the color. I'm saying black because racially it has a lot to do with who we are. Church has a lot to do with who we are. So we have to find another way of dealing with this, which we have not done yet.
Mm.
And that's the point Dr. Donald is trying to make, is that we need to start looking at this from other angles and knowing that this is really happening and somebody needs to speak up about it. No one's ever wrote a book about black churches with all this mess going on in it. Nobody cares.
I can show you a video about the black church's cesspool of failure.
Say that again?
The black church's cesspool of failure.
Hold on.
I can't get a chat room because I don't see a chat room anywhere. Picking your email on air while you're talking, and I can give it to you from YouTube.
Okay, go ahead and give it to me real quick. Wait a minute, let me open up my chat. I'll open it up so you can put it in there for me.
Well, actually, I don't think I can see the chat. I think my laptop doesn't show chat.
Oh, it doesn't show
you.
If you, okay, all right. So, what's the name of it? You said it's called the Black Church's Cesspool of what?
A failure.
Okay. Now, where I will find that video at? I would definitely like to
YouTube.
Put that up. YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. I'll definitely look that up. Okay. I'm going to quickly finish this part. Well, I got time. Okay, it says right here, it says, where did I leave off at? Oh, it says, the women were not setting the boundary forbidding sexual contact between the minister and the congregation. However, the minister had violated the sexual ethics of discretion, which has to do with the sexual practices of persons kept private and hidden from the larger social group. In this view, the value is to mind one's business, because that's how we do things. Mind your own business. Who cares what he's doing, long as he ain't doing it with you? And that's our attitude, which is a crazy attitude. Since sexuality is a taboo topic, the reasons for which will be discussed more fully, discussion of one's own sexuality is placed behind a veil of secrecy and privacy. This means that discussion of sexuality is removed from the public discussion and becomes primarily a private affair. Its regulation is solely the province of the individuals involved. So let's keep it on the down low. Let's keep it hush hush. You know, Pastor, you can come over to my house after Sunday dinner, and, you know, you got to park the car down the block. Wait till it get dark, and then you can come around the corner. You know, that's secrecy. Nobody can see it. The self-deception that has occurred within the ministerial community can almost defy description and belief. One well-known senior minister in a large urban church was called upon to support one of his junior ministers who had been charged by an unmarried female parishioner with sexual misconduct. The parishioner asserted that though the minister was married, he had seduced her and fathered her a child. Like I said before, that's what goes on. The minister vehemently denied the charges. The senior minister gathered support for his younger charge from other parishioners, and the ministers in charge the woman with being immoral, a liar, and manipulative. This senior minister was present at the church hearing where this case was being heard with the DNA results were opened and read. The charge minister, to his chagrin, of the senior minister and his associates, was indeed found to be the father of the child. This happens all the time. We just don't know about it. It happens. He was the father of the child. This led to the junior minister being placed under probation and adequate compensation made to the woman who had suffered the deception of the minister. The filification by the senior pastor, as well as the disdain of other ministers and members of the church community. This atmosphere of hostility by church officials toward women who speak out against their abusers has a chilling effect on the willingness of abused women and men to speak out against those pastors who have abused their authority. This is compounded by the silence of women and men who are aware of their pastor's activity but choose to allow them to engage in activities that are injurious to black women. Man. It says, black women, children, and families. I mentioned the women specifically at this point because the black church's membership is anywhere from 70 to 80% female.
Very true.
That is true. So this is more men may be in authority as ministers, but it is the women who hold the power of the purse and service. Man, they are the stewards.
Madam, you're reading. Are you reading something from the book?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you to give me your email address right quick.
Okay. You're not gonna send me nothing. You're not sending me no spam, are you?
Nope, I'm sending you the Black Church of the Cesspool of Failure, madam.
Okay, cool.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you serious? Don't be lying to me, because I have people call on my show and be lying to me.
Madam, I am not. I have been to A. Long's church. I am telling you the truth. I have met him in person. I am telling you everything that is true. I wouldn't lie to you, madam.
Okay. Do you see it? Can you see it?
Yes, I can see it, but I'm asking you to give me your email so I can send it to you.
Okay, I said, can you see my chat? Can you see my chat?
Your what?
My chat. I put it in my chat.
See, that's why I can't get the chat.
Okay, hold up.
Yes, ma'am.
It's SENSIBLE.
Oh, okay. Okay, so S.
E-N.
C-N.
No, S-E-N, sensible, like the word sensible.
Okay. Well, let me just dial over again, okay. So it's S.
S-E-N.
S-E-N.
Uh-huh. S-I-B-L-E.
S-I-B-L-E.
64@yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com. Okay. And it's been sent.
Okay.
So you should be able to get it right now.
Okay, give me a second here.
It's a very good video. It lasts between 10 to 15 minutes. Some very good information in there. But
okay,
that's true that.
But
huh?
Why is this a picture of. Okay, why is a picture of. It's Friday on here?
Yeah. It's a picture of that because it shows. One of the videos, one of the scenes from the video shows the whole Bernie Mac scene. Because Bernie Mac was a pastor on there and him sleeping with some woman.
He was a pastor. Okay.
Yeah.
Arrested for infection, church members. Okay. I got you. Okay, you were legit. I apologize because I had somebody send me to somewhere and it was a portal website that they sent me to. That's why I had to ask you that.
Oh, it's no problem, but you can trust me.
Okay, since more men may be in authority as ministers, but it is women who hold the power of the purse and the service. They are the stewards of the church and should make clear to their leaders that they expect loving and professional behavior in their spiritual leaders. The fact that most black churches are primarily composed of women has intensified this issue, and often the pastor finds himself the object of competition by various women in the church. I'm serious. Women stop sticking each other over these pastors. I'm serious. I've seen it. And it's just crazy. In a community where the number of suitable male partners is pathetically low due to unemployment and lack of education, this intensifies the desire to see the pastor as an emotional and sexual partner and may serve to heighten feelings of transference and counter-transference, which I was talking about that earlier, about how the professional. Now, the thing is, this is what bothers me, that if a doctor overstepped his boundaries with his patient, he would automatically go to jail. Okay? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
If a dentist oversteps his boundaries, he will go to jail. We will quickly report them. Why is it that we don't report the black pastors when they overstepped their boundaries? Why is that? Do you know?
Oh, I mean, I thought you were going to answer the question, but...
No, I want you to answer. I'm asking you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Wow, I was just eating a piece of fudge. Just give me just a minute. Very sorry about this, madam.
No, eat your fudge.
Let me just wipe my hands, too, man. You know, I'm mad as hell right now, so I'm trying to relax.
What you mad about?
You know... I haven't run church in a year, but I can honestly book the crap that goes on with church like you're talking about. But
Yeah. And it's frustrating. It's very much so frustrating that it's hard to find a church that you can trust the pastors in. I mean, I'm telling you from experience, it is hard. And, you know, and I watch these people literally put these pastors on these pedestals like they're God. And I'm just like, I'm looking at them like, wait a minute, hold up, you got what? They will get mad at you if you say something negative about their pastor.
Exactly. Sometimes churches, a lot of people don't go to church because the pastor isn't there. That's what happens a lot.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
You know what? Yeah. You know what, too?
Why?
What we don't understand is, and everybody wants to make an excuse, well, we don't know if he was called. It's not our place to say whether or not he was called to be a pastor. Oh, believe me, when he gets in that pulpit and he's saying certain things, that's an automatic no. Your alert goes off knowing that he shouldn't be no doggone pastor. But he continues to hold that position, and he has all that power behind that position that really, really affects everybody in that church in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Mm-hmm. And we continue, you have to, and I always say this to anybody, be careful who you put in charge of your soul, because that person might not always be for your soul. He might have another agenda. But if you say that to some people, they get offensive with you, and, you know, you automatically considered a troublemaker or an outsider. But I've learned that going to the churches that I've been to that, yeah, pastors are very powerful people. They're very manipulative, and they abuse their power in any way they can. Because
I think a lot of them are getting paid by white people or Zionist Jews, and they want to corrupt the black church. Most of them are getting paid by Zionists or racist white people in order to bring down the black community, in my opinion. Because I think the black church is a weapon used to bring black people down. The institution of religion is what brings black people down, in my opinion.
You know, I think it brings down not only blacks, I think it brings down a lot of other religions, too. Because
Catholic,
we've gotten so far
any religion in general, in general.
Yeah. Yep, in general. Well, see, and you know what? We get so caught up in religion when that's not... Religion is man-made. And I say that to anybody. Religion is a man-made thing. It has nothing to do with God. That's... Religion is a man-made thing. Christianity is a man-made thing.
Yes.
Okay? We don't want to go... I don't want to go there. I'm reading
no,
my...
No, go there. Go there, please.
I
can have that conversation. Most black people can't have that conversation with, but... We can have that conversation. Please explain.
They get so offensive about it.
Hell yes.
Because you know what? They don't even understand. You're following something you have no understanding. And you can tell that if we were much more smarter about the history of Christianity, we wouldn't follow it. To be honest with you, we wouldn't follow it. But because of our ignorance, we follow it. Christianity, according to Spain, because that's the book I'm reading now, Christians were heathens. Christians did not take baths. They were unclean. The Moors, which are Muslims, were the ones who introduced them to bath, to take a
bath.
That
is true.
They never took baths. They never took baths. They were savages. When Ferdinand the First, I think, or second, and Isabella did the Spanish Inquisition, that's when Christianity came into birth and took completely over. Everything was one faith. They demolished every other race. I mean, they demolished every other religion there was. Because when the Moors were in charge, Christians, Jews, and Catholics, Catholics, Muslims, and Jews could work together. They ate together. They lived together. When Christians came in out of their jealousy and took over, little by little, they got rid of all the extra, I mean, any other religion, because they were pushing Christianity through the
yes.
whole Spain and Europe. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear about how Christians were. Those were the most savagest people there was on earth at that time. They don't want to hear that. But
exactly,
really
they'll get mad at you, call you a hypocrite, or
say
the power crash, all that other bullshit. Sorry for cussing,
yeah.
but it's just annoying to me. My mom is into that, as well as my family. You know, you can't get black, you can't talk to black people about this kind of stuff.
But
I'm gonna go on a racist white show in a minute.
Huh?
I'm going on a racist white show in a minute, but if you want to call me, you have my number in the Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
You know, call
you
me more about this.
Here?
Huh?
You have a show here?
I have my own show on Talk Shoe, not Blog Talk.
Oh, you on Talk Shoe? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. What's the name of your show?
The Chad Factor. The Chad Factor.
Chad in C-H-A-D?
Yes, the Chad Factor.
Okay, Factor on Talk Shoe. And when do you come on?
Anytime I can get an interview, really, anytime during the... It's not every night. But I'm going to go on another show. Please call me. It's been a wonderful conversation. I hope you have a good show.
Thank you very much, sir. You have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. You guys, that caller was a great caller. I loved it. What I want to do now is we're going to take a break. We went deep into that. I mean, that's what I like, that type of response. I want to thank him for that. But I want to play us a little music because we got time for some music. I'm going to play Different by, I think her name is Shandy.
I shouldn't have to tell you, you are the motivation for my life. You already know that. Out of
Hi, I'm Salita, the owner of Say Your Peace Radio Network. We would like to invite you to join our team. By becoming a host, for more information, check out our website at sensible64.wix.com/Say Your Peace Network. That's Say Your P-I-E-C-E Network. Have you thought about hosting your own radio show? If so, visit our website at sensible64.wix.com/Say Your Peace Network. That's sensible64.wix.com/Say Your Peace, P-I-E-C-E Network. We will return with Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salita.
Okay, you guys, we are back. I want to again thank 678 for calling in. We had a great discussion about the black churches, which, I like I said, that's a whole other subject, but it was a great conversation I had with him. I thank him for calling in. Okay, it says right here, it says, the fact that most black churches are primarily composed of women has intensified the issue, this issue, and often the pastor finds himself the object of competition by various women in the church. As we said, because due to jobs and simply not enough men, women find themselves fighting for the attention of their pastors. Blech. Okay. Which creates the transference and the counter-transference situation, as Sigmund Freud was talking or discussed, or he explained earlier about what happens with transference and counter-transference, which we're going to talk about that at the end. So I'm going to make sure I put that in there. Okay. It says, churches and religious bodies should be clear concerning their policies in this area and develop clear policies and strong sanctions regarding violation of their rules. Just as in college teaching, where some colleges prohibit any sexual conduct between professors and students, others may allow it, but with very clear rules regarding the relationship being acknowledged and reported, and for the professor not being allowed to be in a position of power over the student. This protects the rights, of the student and professor, since any, any relationship can be, can become toxic. There are many ways to approach boundary settings, but each religious body should be clear and open about their rules and expectations for their clergy. Man, we're already down to 3 minutes. Let me see. Any sexual conduct between clergy and minors should be prohibited, and appropriate rules and procedures regarding clergy contact with minors should be in place. This includes background screening of clergy conduct for complaints regarding sexual misconduct. Sexual abuse is an abuse of power by the powerful minister against the less powerful parishioner and should be understood and treated as such. The previous examples reveal the difficulty that black pastors have in maintaining appropriate emotional boundaries. It is important to continue this analysis by examining the cultural situation that helped produce these attitudes and behaviors, and in the next chapter, examining the two most prominent African-American religious leaders of contemporary times in order to provide more evidence and depth of this analysis, which we're going to come back to because we are down to 2 minutes. But we will definitely continue this conversation. Oh my God, I can't wait. We will definitely continue this conversation about sexual abuse of power in the black church by Dr. Donald H. Matthews, PhD. Great book. Love it. I cannot wait to do the recap on it at the end. Man, you guys, this book is awesome. I want to thank everybody who's listening in and those who have listening, tell your neighbors to go back and listen to this once we get off air. Now, again, if you're interested in getting a show or hosting a show on the Say Your Peace Network, please feel free to contact us or visit our website at sensible64.wix, which is wix.com/ Say Your Peace Network. Okay? So, what we're going to do now, I am going to close out, and I want to say again, thank you guys for listening in. I'm hoping you guys are learning a lot from this book. Please feel free to contact me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. You can contact me on Twitter. I'm there, you guys. Just, you'll see Selena McCall, and I am there. So, I'm lost for whatever else I wanted to say. But anyway, so stay tuned tomorrow evening because we'll be back. It won't be at 8, at 9. It will be at the regular time because I don't think I have anything planned for tomorrow night. So we'll be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. So I'm going to say good night and bye-bye.
has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. We want to thank you for listening in and stay tuned.